Well, hello, this is Jeff Gaudiosi, and you're on MisplacedDraws.com, where music comes to life. And my next guest is making a return trip to the site. We last spoke back in January, when he put out an incredible record with his band Black Swan, and he's about to release his second solo record, his first all-instrumental, called A View from the Inside. You know him from his work with Winger, Dokken, and Whitesnake, but please welcome back the amazing Reb Beach. Welcome, Reb.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great. God, the last time we spoke was a completely different world back in January.
Oh, God,
You did mention then that you were planning a solo record for later in the year. Did the pandemic screw up any of the timing at all, or is it out when you had plans?
No, it wouldn't have been out even now. The pandemic actually expedited things because... I was on the road. I was gone. I was going to have the best year I would have had since 1989. I was booked solid with Winger and Whitesnake. We were going to tour with Sammy Hagar and all through Europe and Japan. And I flew home from Singapore when the thing hit.
And so basically it gave you a little bit of time to work on it.
Oh, I got right to work on it. It was Kip. I called Kip and said, Kip, what do I do? Oh, my God. What are we going to do? And he said, whatever. You know, Kip talks like Morris the cat. He's just really laid back. And he just said, you know, what about that fusion stuff you were doing? And I said, oh, my God, that's right. It's just sitting on my hard drive. Yeah. It's done. Why don't I just release that? It's perfect time. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened.
And when you described the record the last time we spoke, you mentioned, you know, it had the strong Jeff Beck rock vibe to it. And listening to the record, I can't agree more. I mean, a track like Little Robots is a modern version of Blow by Blow and Wired era Beck. Well, I mean, you know, The Way Home would be At Home on Emotion Commotion or Jeff. How big an influence was he on your playing when you were putting this together?
Barely. I didn't own a Jeff Beck record. I didn't really know, you know, I'd heard like the songs that everybody knows, you know. Mm-hmm. But I liked that sound of the older keyboards, you know, the organ, the mm-hmm. V3 and the clavs and the solos, Jan Hammer or however you say mm-hmm. it. I liked that sound of the production of those songs. And so, you know, in that way, yeah, it was definitely influenced in that way. And sometimes my vibrato and, you know, stuff like that sounds a little bit like Jeff Beck for sure. There's a little bit of Jeff Beck influence, especially on Infinito. There's three notes in Infinito that sound like a Jeff Beck song. But, yeah, I wasn't really influenced by Jeff Beck. He's mm-hmm. not one of my influences. I wish he had been. Mm-hmm. I wish I knew how to pick the guitar strings without a guitar pick and do, you know, some of this amazing stuff that he does. He's so, so good. But, you know, it's mostly the production that I got from those old style records. But kind of everything kind of sounded like that back then. I like that 70s sound, and so there's some of that on the record, sure.
Well, the thing I really like about the record is they're actual songs. There's a structure. There's melody. Is your first instrumental record, were you, like, really aware of creating a song as opposed to just kind of, you know, the guitar masturbation we hear on a lot of other instrumental records?
Well, thank you, Jeff. I certainly was going for that. I'm a songwriter, and a songwriter first, and I wouldn't want to listen to an instrumental record if the songs weren't any good. And that was sort of the challenge, was to make a record that was listenable, really, all the way through, you know, and to not really have a dog in the bunch and do it, make it varied. My God, there's a truck behind us thinking like perfectly bad timing. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries.
But yeah, you know, I wanted dynamics. I didn't want it all to be shredding, you know, like shredding in the beginning and shredding at the end and shredding in the middle and, you know, just all shredding. I wanted it to be, you know, different styles of music on there, kind of like a Dixie Dregs record. Or my favorite is Jean-Luc Ponty. That's who I was really inspired by. The Way Home is sounds like a Jean-Luc Ponty song to me. But yeah, I'm glad that, you thought that. And that's sort of what I was going for, is to make good hooks, like quality hooks stuck in your head, rather than just, you know, look at me, you know, I'm going to play as fast as I can. I tried to get some memorable songs in there.
And it worked. I mean, again, everybody knows you're a great guitar player, so I don't think that needs to, you know, that shredding doesn't need to be there, but, you know, in the concept of a song, it works really well. And did you have these songs or fragments of them in your pocket for a while, or is this kind of stuff you wrote with this in mind?
It is, it's interesting. The Little Robots was written in 1986. it was, I think, the first fusion song I ever wrote, because I don't really consider Black Magic a fusion song.
Yeah.
It's just more like a rock instrumental. And then I wrote Black Magic and Cutting Loose, like right around then, like maybe 87. So I had those songs 40 years ago. and then what happened was, it was 1993, and Winger kind of, you know, went down in flames. And I was thinking, well, maybe I can be like a Joe Satriani guy, and I don't have to deal with a singer or writing lyrics and, that whole nightmare. It would just be cool to go out there and be the guitar player. It would be my band, and I could write all the songs really easily because it's instrumental. It sounded like a cool thing to do, and I always wanted to go on a tour with guitar players. Like G3 or something like that, you know? So I started writing stuff, and I made demos. And I shopped them around, and no one was interested because they wanted vocals on there. So I sold the fusion demos that I shopped around in 93 on my website, and they sold like hotcakes. And I got so much, like, emails and comments, and, you know, people loved it. And a lot of people said, this is my favorite thing you've ever done. And so it motivated me to actually make an entire record, but to take 15 years doing it, because I was always...
So it didn't motivate you that much.
Yeah, well, the thing was, it was kind of, it became a hobby that I would work on a little bit here and there, you know, because I'm always touring. And when I'm not touring, I'm writing, but I'm writing for something with a deadline.
Yeah.
And that didn't have a deadline, so it just always got put on the back burner. And it probably would have been put on the back burner again this year had it not been for COVID.
And, you know, you mentioned reaching out to Kip when you were putting this together. Who else kind of helped you with the record? Who plays on it?
Well, the guys just played on it. Kip helps me with everything. He's like a mover and a shaker and a doer, and he's a shark. He's a businessman. He gets things done. He's on the phone at 9 a.m. You know, like, I wake up at 11. So, you know, like, when Kip gets involved, things get done. And I was so happy that he could executive produce it. He found me a studio in Pittsburgh, and... he flew out to do the drums because Kip gets really good drum sounds. And that was really the hardest part. And if it hadn't been for Kip, I don't know, we probably wouldn't have come together as well. So, the guys just play on it. I've known all those guys, not all of them, but some of them. Dave Throckmorton was a drummer in Masquerade. He's in Red Beach Project. So is John Hall, the bass player, and Philip Bino was a suggestion. Someone said, go on YouTube and look at Steve Vai's bass player, Philip Bino. And he was perfect, funky, and used him on, I think, most of it on bass. And, you know, just called him up, and he said, sure. And then Paul Brown was a friend of Kip's in Nashville, keyboard player. And how that came to be.
Now, if the response to the record is strong, do you see yourself kind of beginning to slot some time in between all of your other projects for an ongoing solo outlet, or is this just a whenever it comes up kind of thing?
I went to see Joe Satriani last year with Phil Collins and John Petrucci, and it's awesome.
I saw that show too.
It was so great.
Yeah.
Really good. I want to be a part of something like that. And I said it to Joe. I went backstage, talked to Joe, was nervous as a cat. And I said, Joe, man, I've got a like an instrumental record, got kind of a 70s sound. It's real melodic, totally catchy, total inside stuff. It's not too out there. And he said, that sounds like the kind of stuff that I love. He said, send it to me immediately. He said, listen, if you've got an instrumental record, we can get you out on this kind of tour. He said, I'll take you out. And I was like, awesome. So as soon as I get copies of it, I'm sending it out to Joe and to everybody, to Steve and any guitar player I can think of, to just, you know, kind of get into that group of guitar players that tour instrumental stuff. I would really love to do it. But then, you know, there's Winger and maybe one day Black Swan.
And I would love to catch that show. Should you hit the road with that? And you mentioned your other projects, you know, Whitesnake's putting out a series of compilations throughout the year. David recently had some surgery, some health issues. He doing okay? Everything going well with him now?
Oh, yep. He's just a joy. He texts us every day, darlings, how are you today? You know, love and light to all of you. You know, he's doing fine. You know, he's always tweeting and texting and texting dirty jokes, and he sounds great. And he's in great shape. I see pictures of him, and he looks fabulous.
Any idea on when you guys will be getting back together to do new stuff, or is that just whenever this clears up?
Yeah, he hasn't said a word about us touring or anything. I'm sure, you know, he's older and he's, you know, wary about going out the way things are right now.
Yeah,
sure. So, you know, I'm sure he'll announce it as soon as he's ready to do it. And I'll probably hear it, you know, on Facebook. Like, oh, we're going out?
Oh, what about with Winger? And, you know, you guys been working on anything through the pandemic? Or?
Yeah, we're working our asses off, actually. I'm flying there again on November 14th and going 10 days. We're doing 10-day runs of me sitting in the studio with him. And we've got this really high bar, so it's going really slowly, but we've got 10 songs and we're only using 5 of them because it's like he wants it to be like Boston, where every single song is undeniably good. He doesn't want any dogs in the bunch, and we're going to just do whatever is necessary to make just the best record ever. And it's about progressive riffs. So I came in with 15 new riffs. And he said, they're great, but in every single one of them, I know what the next notes are going to be. He said, and then what the next chords are going to be. I don't want to be able to predict what the next chords are going to be when I've heard 3 chords. It's got to be different. It's got to be fresh. It's got to be progressive and cool sounding. And then it needs to be something that I can sing a hooky part over. And that's what's cool about Winger, you know. Even 17 is kind of a complicated riff, but, you know, he heard it as a chorus right away. The first day we started writing together, he's like, that's a chorus. I'm like, that's a chorus? I thought it would be like an intro or something.
Well, it's always good to have multiple looks at things because you never know where it could end up. And you mentioned Black Swan. For me, that's one of the best records of the year. I love that record.
Everyone loves that record. It's crazy. Those are all Winger, just Winger riffs that Kip said no to. I came in to Pilsen with 50 ideas. I brought 50 ideas to Pilsen, and he was like a kid in a candy store, you know. And it starts with me, these songs, this type of music. It starts with the guitar riff, and then you build it from there, you know, like a puzzle. But if you don't got the riff, then you don't really got much, you know.
Exactly.
So the pressure's on me at the beginning of the writing session. But if you can come in prepared and you've got stuff that works, then we wrote the whole album in 10 days.
Any chance of being a follow-up to it?
Oh, you know it. You know, Frontiers is going, we think maybe good idea. Do again.
Yeah, they know when they struck gold.
Yeah, apparently it sold really well.
Good. Yeah, it like I said, it's one of my favorites of the year, so that's a cool record. And when this all opens up again, everyone's going to be hitting the road. For a guy like you that has multiple bands and multiple touring entities, have you even given a thought to how you're going to work out the timing? Or, is it, okay, Whitesnake has a priority, then we'll fit in Winger? And
No, I cross my fingers and hope that it doesn't clash. Mm. You know, the few times it's clashed, it's been a pain in the butt. But it's been very few and far between, because Winger up until this point has worked around Whitesnake's schedule. Mm-hmm. So, hopefully we'll be able to work something out. I know that Winger is, actively booking as soon as stuff opens up, for sure. Because, we're, ready to go. And it's easier to book Winger. You know, Whitesnake, it's a big tour,
right.
It's a big deal. And Winger, we just call up the club. Frank? Yeah, we're going to be there on Saturday. Yeah.
Well, my guest today has been Reb Beach. He has a brand new instrumental record coming out called A View from the Inside, out November 6th. Killer record, just a great instrumental record.
Thanks, Jeff.
It'll be available streaming everywhere. I know you got some physical copies as well on the Frontier site. And Reb, thank you so much. Best of luck with the record. I hope to catch you on tour one of these days and say hello.
Absolutely, Jeff. Let me know, man. We'll get you backstage so we can hook up. It's always really a pleasure talking to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And best of luck. Good luck with the record, and stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jeff.
You got it, man. Bye.
Okay. Bye.